You would make outrageous claims.
Outrageous!
You were literally too stupid to insult.
Come on, son!
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Mr. Bricks,
I got two claims, Joe. I'm taking your claim, and I'm using my claim.
Okay.
First claim. Now, we both agree Adrian Peterson should win the MVP award.
Absolutely. Just hands down.
Beast mode effort last week.
Yeah.
Eric Dickerson, and he's about 147 yards a game away from breaking Eric Dickerson. About.
Okay.
And throw out the exact number.
I thought for a second you were going to say that Eric Dickerson is 147 years old.
No.
That's not factually accurate, and we're all about facts here.
Eric Dickerson came out. He was asked, what he thought about Adrian Peterson potentially breaking his record.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have different responses when asked, home run king. Wow. Hank Aaron.
There
was always very graceful with it. Mercury Morris is the most annoying person of all time whenever anybody brings up his undefeated season.
Yeah, that's not good.
Eric Dickerson had this take.
Okay.
Adrian is a classy guy. I don't watch football anymore, which it's interesting. I don't watch sports. I just see the highlights. Is he a great player? I don't want him to break my record, but I wish him the best. And he says, I don't want him to break it. I'll be honest, I don't want to see it. If anyone ever broke it, if my son played football, I'd want my son to break it, but that's it. No one else.
Okay.
I love this. I think this is fantastic.
I have no problem with that.
I mean, a lot of people said, oh, he's not graceful. He's selfish and spiteful. Listen, if I own a mother effing record, I want to keep.
By the way, I can be gracious and still not want you to beat it. Like, I can be okay with you topping my record, but I can still sit there and go, man, I really hope he doesn't.
Yeah.
But if he does, I'm not going to be like, nah.
Right. And that's essentially what he's saying. He called him a classy guy, said he's a phenomenal player. It's my mother effing record.
Right.
And you're going to have to pry it from my cold, dead hands.
I'm not sure he can really do anything to stop it unless he's going to suit up for for the Texans this weekend.
He's in a tough spot to
fight back. I think
here,
by the way, he'd be a significant downgrade from the Texans defense.
You know, it'd be interesting if he pulled a Mr. 3000
and came back
to get his record back.
You know, I agree. Like I just said, there's no reason that I have to be willing to give it up. Like it's something that I achieved. I want to see that stand. I want to be in the record books for as long as possible. So I got no problem with him saying he doesn't want to see it happen. But by the way, if to go back to the original point, what was going to be the claim, even if he doesn't break the record, he's still the MVP.
If he gets 2K and
I don't even care. If he doesn't get another yard for the rest of the season, he is the MVP. There is no reason that team is in playoff contention like they are right now. No other reason than Adrian Peterson. Christian Ponder ain't exactly getting it done.
That's my thing. Listen, Peyton Manning has had a phenomenal year. If they gave them co-comeback player of the year and co-MVP, I'd be kind of okay with that, but I don't like the co-MVP. There's a McNair Peyton one. You're just like, well, which one was it?
Right, but like I look at Peyton's team right now and I see he's got a great defense, he's got great weapons around him, and he's got a running game first with McGahee and now with Moreno, who's taken up that mantle very nicely. Yeah, he's got a complete team around him. Adrian Peterson has got Adrian Peterson, and that's it.
Because
Christian Ponder is a disaster right now, quarterback, throwing red zone interceptions like it's going out of style. I understand Percy Harvin was there, but Percy Harvin's been injured for most of
the season.
Yeah, months now. So I look at that team and like, yeah, it's got a solid defense, but it's not a great defense. It's not as good as Denver's defense. Adrian Peterson is the reason that team is as good as it is right now.
And, he's been phenomenal. There's two things. People always say, well, look at the record. I look at the most valuable player. If you are on a team like A-Rod with the Texas Rangers when he won a couple MVPs and they were dead last,
right,
you shouldn't qualify.
Right.
But if you have your team, they don't need to necessarily make the playoffs. But when you have a team in playoff contention week 15, 16, 17,
I agree.
Then you're eligible for the discussion.
Yeah, Chad Henne's been good, but you're on the Jaguars. Your team is brutal. Same with Larry Fitzgerald. By the way, I feel so bad for Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Ryan Lindley is not, like, every quarterback that he's had since Kurt Warner left has been the worst quarterback in the league at that point.
And
he's been nothing but a class act about it.
There's no position more depend. I mean, you can be the greatest receiver in football, which, right, you know, we're talking pretty much about right. the greatest guy in football aside from Megatron. If the guy can't get the ball near you,
right,
there's nothing you can do about it. It's like when Randy Moss was in Oakland and he disappeared for 3 years. And then all of a sudden they gave him a guy who could throw the ball to him and Tom Brady. And once again, out of nowhere, he was the best player in the game.
Right.
You know, like it was 1999.
And that's why I'm looking at it. It's like, this is going to be such an interesting offseason just to see where the pieces fall. You know, Sanchez is gone. Where does he end up? I don't know that he's a starter somewhere next year. But he's going to be gone. Tebow, whatever. He's not a starting quarterback for somebody. So Sanchez, you know, the Bills saying they're done with Fitzpatrick. He might be on the market. Vic is going to – people are hearing – we all know Vic is gone. Where is he going to go? People are saying he's going to go to the Jets. I don't see that as a good idea, nor do I buy it. You know, I think if Fitzpatrick goes from Buffalo, we've talked about it. I think they got to go hard after Vic. You know, then Arizona sweeps up Fitzpatrick. It's going to be a very interesting offseason.
It certainly is. May I move to my second outrageous claim?
Would you like the sounder again? We're just going to go.
Just give me the sounder in the background.
You would make outrageous.
I'm going to talk over the guy.
Okay.
Literally too stupid to insult.
If Alden Smith and or J.J. Watt break Michael Strahan's single season sack record, you see what I'm doing with the record theme?
Yes.
Strahan will not make the Hall of Fame first ballot. Not saying I agree with it, but I think his single season sack record is what puts him over the top in the eyes of viewers. That and his Super Bowl championship 2007, How at Your Boy.
Yep.
And if he loses that right before voting, presuming voting happens in a couple of weeks, he will no longer be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I disagree. I think that's a very interesting point, but I think there are too many people who know, I mean, outside of the record, know the player he was and what he meant to that organization and what he meant, especially to that playoff run that year.
Yeah, but I think there's a bit of a perception issue, and I don't know, I hope it's not the case, but I think Strahan's greatness and the true legend of Strahan is very New York-centric. I don't think people on the West Coast for the 10-12 year span that Michael Strahan was as great as he was, I don't think he was at the tip of your tongue as one of the greatest, most dynamic defensive players in the league for people outside of the NFC East. Or maybe branch it out to the NFC.
I guess now that I think about it, and guys like Chris Carter and the Bills wide receiver who...
Andre Reed, yeah, guys like that.
Guys like that who are still out. Maybe he doesn't make it in the... I mean, there's no doubt he's a Hall of Famer. And there's also something to be said for... I mean, what if they get to the point where they passed the previous record, but not Strahan's, and we all know, you know, Strahan's was a bit of a...
I don't know what you're talking about.
It was a bit of a home job, if you will.
It was a clean sack. Brett Favre didn't see him coming.
Yeah, no, he didn't see that. It was a weird time to call a
it
naked bootleg.
It was a great
bootleg.
Sack. Warren Sapp will tell you.
It was a weird time to call a naked bootleg where your left tackle falls down.
Right.
It was interesting, but, you know... I mean, I guess it works.
I just, you know, you look at those guys, and I think he is. I think you made a great statement with Chris Carter that Chris Carter was great. Everybody knew Chris Carter was great, but while he was great, you were talking about Michael Irvin and Jerry Rice and even Randy Moss. You know, those dynamic, explosive playmakers.
There's also someone who said that Chris Carter never won anything, never did read, right? And I don't know how much they take that into account, but I mean, Carter never got there. Reed never got there, but never won it. I know he didn't ever won one with the Bills.
Definitely, I know. I don't believe he ever won one. So not as a focal point of an offense,
right? You know, but Strahan was the guy on that defense. I mean, people can say Tuck outplayed him in the Super Bowl, but Strahan was the guy on that defense.
He was the guy.
Some would say he was the guy on that team that year. But that was before Eli had really taken up the reins.
And he was the guy on the defense. You know, some people could say Jesse Armstead, second time this century.
Hello!
In the 2000, you know, team that made the Super Bowl. So he also made it to two. People forget about that. But that's what I think. I think when you look at his resume and what puts him over the top, what separates him from being a Chris Carter is not just the fact that he has won a Super Bowl,
yep,
but also the fact that he has the single season sack record.
All right, well, yeah, it's a very interesting point. I guess, you know, my original thought was no, but then, I mean, I'm a Giant fan. I'm not exactly coming into this with a real objective view. And, you know, you look at the point that Chris Carter's not in yet, which is a travesty, by the way. As much as I don't like Chris Carter as an analyst, dude was a hell of a player. He's got to be in the Hall of Fame. That is it for us on Cover 2 this week. Check us out Sunday on the show. I don't know what's going to happen next week with all the holidays. Speaking of, if you don't catch us, have a wonderful holiday, a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Enjoy Polar Express and Disney Scrooge and Christmas Vacation and Charlie Brown's Christmas
and the Jim Carrey inspired Grinch adaptation.
If you enjoy that, you also, like the guys who enjoy the Meineke Car Care Bowl, need to spend some time in a dark room and think about yourself. We'll leave you with my rendition of, as promised earlier, of Mean One, Mr. Bettman, as we get ready for Bruce Jacobs' Christmas Carols. It is Cover 2. Excuse my singing. My bad. I was a little sick under the weather. It's still pretty good. It's Cover 2. For Pierce Bricks, I'm Joe Bianchino. Have a happy holiday if we don't talk to you. 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
You're a mean one, Mr. Bettman. You really are a heel. Your incompetence and greed is why we'll never get a deal, Mr. Bettman.
If I had to bet on which organization would play a game sooner, the New York Rangers or the twice-defunct Albany Firebirds, I'd take the
Albany Firebirds. You're a rotter, Mr. Bettman. Your policies are vile. Your reign served only to put the NHL into exile, Mr. Bettman. You, sir, seem as crooked to me as Theo Fleury's smile. You nauseate me, Mr. Bettman. This lockout's a new low to which you've sunk. If you were anyone else, then I would surely say you're drunk, Mr. Bettman.
The three words that best describe you are as follows, in order, and I quote:
stink, stank,
selfish, f***